This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Worm rancher, coal miner, owl vomit collector, casino food recycler, ostrich tamer, hot tar roofer, all jobs we're glad to be done by somebody else. On the Discovery Channel, Mike Rowe travels the country as the dilettante of disgust and tackles a new and even filthier profession every week on the appropriately named Dirty Jobs. If you've somehow missed the popular series, the show is in its fourth season now, and Mike Rowe can proudly cite more than 175 dirty jobs on his resume, and that's not even including his stint as a late-night pitchman on QVC. So do you have a truly dirty job? Mike gets many of his show ideas from the audience, so call in today and convince him that your job deserves the dirty jobs treatment. Our phone number is 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org, and you can tell us your disgusting story on our blog at npr.org/blogofthenation. Later on in the program, we'll talk with sports writer Bill Simmons about the sweetest 16 teams in men's college basketball. But first, Mike Rowe, the host of Dirty Jobs, joins us from our bureau in New York. Nice to have you on the program today.
Dilettante of disgust.
I like that, didn't you?
I haven't heard it before, but with your permission, I'm going to begin using it.
Go ahead. And next season, I guess your first dirty job is radio talk show guest.
Some jobs, I'm afraid, are too hideous even for me. So
can't compare one green room to another. There's OSHA laws about that sort of thing.
Yeah, more stale Danish, right?
So we mentioned the job on QVC. How did you get on the Discovery Channel?
It's a crooked road, you know. I mean, QVC happened back in the late 80s when I was just trying to get into the business in general, and they were the only ones with the questionable taste to, to hire me. And to their credit, they fired me several times. But, you know, to their overall lack of judgment, hired me back again. So, you know, I got an early taste of, fits and starts, as it were, and eventually that morphed into me impersonating a host for any number of people. Next thing you knew, I was doing the on-air entertainment on American Airlines when you're captured at 37,000 feet with no other option. American forced its customers to watch me for about a year and a half.
And I understand they make two copies of each one of those programs, one for the airlines and one for the Pulitzer Committee.
I have yet to hear from those guys, but they...
They never write me back either.
Sit by the phone. They say, Mike, we're going to get to you, but still nothing. So, you know, there's a lot of grime in the cracks that I'll spare you, but in the end, I started a relationship with Discovery in the early 90s. In fact, my first show with them was called Romantic Escapes, which turned out to be neither and was, in fact, the polar opposite of everything I'm doing today.
You didn't, on Romantic Escapes, go to the Worm Ranch?
I toured the world with a beautiful woman, creating the illusion of romance and five-star getaways. Now my co-star is a pig and I crawl through a sewer.
And you know what? You make your co-star look really good.
It's my job. I'm a giver.
Well, I'm laughing about that. But really, a lot of these shows are making fun of the people who do this stuff. And you don't do that. You make fun of yourself.
The joke's on me. And it's critical to do that. And I appreciate you saying it because one of the early challenges in the show, with the guys at the network and the producers, we all stepped back and said, you know, the thing that TV is really bad at is honestly portraying regular people. It always slips into some version of hyperbole. Mm-hmm. You know, we turn them into heroes when they're not, or straight men when they don't deserve to be, you know, punchlines. And I realized, truthfully, that the only way to pay an honest tribute was to actually do the work, which unfortunately for me means no small amount of pain, misery, and daily humiliation, which I'm happy to pay because I'm making literally hundreds of dollars.
Hundreds of dollars a week, I'm sure. And for this, your union membership does not protect you from the slings and arrows?
Of outrageous grime? No, I'm afraid I've examined the contract and there is no verbiage to help me.
And even worse, this show was your idea.
Yeah, it was actually George Plimpton's. I stole it from him, but, you know, being dead, I didn't think he'd care too much. It was supposed to be a tribute to my grandfather. And in fact, it was. The first 3 hours that were ordered were supposed to be the last 3 hours. Wasn't supposed to be a show, much less a hit. I just wanted to spend some time with regular people doing regular jobs. And my granddad was one of those guys. You know, you've probably met people hardwired at birth, you know, architect, a plumber, electrician, just got it all instinctively. And I didn't get that gene, not even a little. So growing up around he and my dad doing all these things on our little farm, it became apparent to me by my late teens that I was both inspired and humiliated on a daily basis. So I got into entertainment to get away from all of that. And now, you know, the irony for me, of course, is that Dirty Jobs is a hit, and all I have to do to ensure it stays one is subject myself to the very things I've spent most of my life deliberately avoiding.
Well, what we need are your suggestions about your dirty job, not your dad's dirty job, not your friend's dirty job, not your cousin's dirty job, your dirty job that you think Mike Rowe should feature next season on Dirty Jobs on the Discovery Channel. Give us a call, 800-989-8255. Email talk@npr.org. We'll start with Ron, and Ron's calling us from Detroit, Michigan.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Very well.
Great.
Good. I love your show, and everybody that I work with, we've been toying around with the idea of trying to get you to come out and work with us.
What do you do?
Yeah, we take care of mainly vacant, foreclosed, and arsoned houses,
mm-hmm.
and we can do anything from really nice stuff to just taking pictures up to cleaning up after squatters and crack addicts who've been living in this house for who knows how long.
Ah, squatters and crack addicts.
Cleaning up the crack house, yeah.
So, and then I have a lot of houses that are dogfight houses that we come into after the fights are over.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been toying around with trying to get you to come out and work with us.
So, Mike, you're going to go out and take out the tweaker trash?
I'm on my way right now. You know, all the ideas for the show come from guys like Ron. You know, you can go to the website, suggest it. Michigan, I'll say, has been very good to Dirty Jobs. the guys who maintain the Mighty Mac, you know, the big bridge between the Upper and Lower Peninsula,
mm-hmm.
let me basically work on every square inch of the thing, from changing a light bulb at the top of the tower to painting the interior of the submerged parts on the insides of the towers themselves. Michigan's been great, and I'd love to come up there to do a little crack rehab.
Yeah, definitely. You need to come out.
Ron, right. Thanks very much for the suggestion.
All right, take care.
Bye-bye. Let's talk now with Gina, and Gina's with us from St. Louis in Missouri.
Hi.
Hey, Gina. Hi.
Hi, nice to talk with you. I am a piano technician and tuner,
mm-hmm.
and part of my job is to clean out pianos. And you wouldn't think that would be a terribly dirty job, but you might not have seen pianos that have been lived in over a number of years by mice or birds or people that have cats, because the animals get into the pianos and the mice will chew everything up and build their little nests and leave their little mouse droppings, and it's pretty interesting to have to clean them out sometimes.
It's fantastic. I mean, it's got to be challenging to get, you know, A right at 440, you know, when you've got mouse poo on it.
Exactly.
That's great.
And, you know, and those mice can ruin an octave and a half, you know.
More than that.
Please, you know, leave your info or something. That's something that I would do immediately because
okay.
that's just so daggone weird. You know, I did a show about the people who make the leather that goes on the inside of the strikers. You know, it's made out of buckskin on the inside
uh-huh.
of pianos.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was interesting. But, you know, if you're promising mouse poo in Missouri, I'm on my way.
Oh, gosh, yeah. Okay, thanks.
Thanks.
Gina, send a remark on your blog, and we'll pass it along to Mike, okay?
Okay.
All right,
okay.
npr.org/blog of the nation. And
all right.
Thanks for the call. Here's an email. From Tom in Enid, Oklahoma. You should spend a day in the life of a tractor trail driver who hauls cattle. These brave men and women get literally covered with manure, so all you and I can do is enjoy a good steak.
Hmm. Well, he makes it sound good, certainly. So driving cattle interstate basically is the job?
Apparently, but on a tractor, you don't get to, you know, say, gee up a spot or whatever.
No, there's not a lot of hee-yaw. There's not a lot of whip-crapping or, you know, is it tractor trailer or just a...
I think tractor trailer is what he said, yes.
Okay.
So,
all right, Tom, we'll definitely give him a look, yeah.
The manure part must be very attractive to you. I mean, hardly the first time.
Well, you know, we are on the show steeped in poo from a vast variety of species. We've picked up after just about everything out there in nature. And sure, cattle at 60 mile an hour sound intriguing.
Let's see if we can get another caller on the line. And let's go to John. John's with us from Holland in Michigan.
Well, how you fellas doing?
All right.
Swell.
Hey, well, listen, Mike Rowe, love the wit. The sardonic humor is awesome. I want to know if you've been invited to sing the national anthem anywhere. I remember one episode you decided to break out in song, and that was kind of interesting.
Well, the thing is, you know, when you're in a sewer, not only are the acoustics fantastic, but, you know, you have to go someplace else mentally. So, sure, you know, the Star Spangled Banner, show tunes, really anything is fair
game. Nice baritone. Hey, I used to work at a duck hatchery, all right? And did you do an episode in a chicken hatchery once?
Just left a turkey insemination joint up in Minnesota.
I'll tell you
Minnesota.
What, if you go to a hatchery, this is what you're going to get. You're going to get a percentage of the eggs that are being incubated before they're transferred into the actual hatcher. Mm-hmm. You know, a portion of those will always rot and explode. So you've got wonderful rotten exploding eggs.
Like it,
you've
like
got,
it.
You've down all over the place. And mm-hmm. so that might be something you would consider.
Dander and exploding eggs. I'm jotting it down now, John.
Rotten and, exploding eggs. And,
yeah.
And if my memory is correct about the aroma of exploding rotten eggs, John, this is going to be a show that should be shown in Aromarama.
Oh, I tell you what, Aromarama will do it. But if you want a dirty job, it's like after the eggs are transferred, you know, or they hatch, after they hatch, you have to take the remnants of these trays and put them in a 50-gallon drum and then actually take a big crusher and crush them down to fit more eggs in. And so, you know, you're getting rotten eggs exploding, and it's pretty monumental.
Well, John, not only do I like everything you're saying, but there is a tone and an enthusiasm and a passion in your voice that's impossible to fake. So I'm liking this a lot.
So he's booked two.
That's nice to say.
He's booked two segments on the trip to Michigan. So look out.
There it is.
Look out, Michigan. I'm coming back.
John, thanks very much for the call.
Indeed.
Somebody's got to clean the dump truck, breed the bugs, dig the wells, and inseminate the cows. Mike Rowe is with us. He's been mucking his way through all the dirty jobs that keep the country moving. Call us about your dirty jobs, 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. And you can see what the rest of our listeners have been up to by reading our blog. That's at npr.org/blogofthenation. Stay with us. I'm Neil Conan. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Into every life, a little sewage must fall. Into some, a lot. If you've got a job that involves a little more than just washing your hands at the end of the day, chances are Mike Rowe's gotten down and dirty with you. He's the host of the Discovery Channel's delightfully disgusting Dirty Jobs. He joins us today. If you haven't had the dubious pleasure of seeing Mike in action, you can watch a video of him catching a biting water snake with his bare hands at npr.org/talk. We want to hear today about your dirty job. Take off those rubber gloves, pick up the phone, give us a call, 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. You can also check out our blog at npr.org/blogofthenation. Mike Rowe joins us today from New York, where presumably, Mike, you're investigating what, a bankruptcy judge?
Yeah, it's filthy. There's just so much depravity in the streets here. I'm completely ensconced in Tyvek and rubber, and still I feel a need for a shower.
Yeah, maybe investment bank. You know, there's so much to go on with. Here's an email. I have a dirty job, writes Tom. My job is to stage murders for an online detective game at crimescene.com. I've had to fill a fake head with pig brains, shoot it with a gun, document the scene, and then clean it up so there's no trace of what I've done. It's like being a killer, but nobody's hurt. Well, except maybe him.
Yeah. The pig.
And the pig, yes. Well, you know, the pig might have given his life for a greater cause. you never know about that.
It's really incredible. You know, I mean, after season one, I thought, you know, clearly we're done. You know, we had done 70 of these things. And then, you know, season two comes along. We do another 70. Now we're up near 200. And I mean, I really appreciate what you're doing with people calling in, because I haven't had an original idea, you know, since we got the thing on the air, and it's only on the air now because people insist on calling with more ideas, so God bless them.
I understand you're a great fan of the Travis McGee series of novels by John McDonald, and he was a private detective, for those who were the benighted few who are unfamiliar with him, who used to retire every time he got enough money to do so, and then when he ran out of money, he'd go looking for another job. Does that define at least part of your life?
Not just a fan. I mean, I'm not embarrassed to admit it. I actually based my own business model on a fictional, you know, character. I lived in the entertainment business a lot like McGee lived on his houseboat. I would take whatever.
The Busted Flush, yes.
The Busted Flush. You're a fan.
Oh, yeah.
I love that. No, it's some of the best pulp fiction ever written. And just the notion of taking your retirement early and in brief installments, as funds would allow, appealed to me. And I love the entertainment industry because if you're not completely fixated on the money or the fame and you have a little bit of talent, not a lot, but just enough to keep working, you can actually have 7 or 8 months off a year, make a decent living, and, you know, yeah, you compromise a touch of your dignity, but whatever, you can get that back. And it was great for me for about 12 years. With Dirty Jobs, I just miscalculated. I really didn't think anybody was going to watch it, and now I don't know how to make it stop.
Well, I did meet John McDonald once and told him I loved his books, but I could never keep them straight. I couldn't remember which colors I'd read and which Dreadful Lemon Sky.
Blue Goodbye.
All of that stuff. And he said, sure. It would have been a lot easier if I'd only written the three I intended to write at the beginning, he said. But it turned into a hit and everybody wanted more.
Sure. Yeah. Sure. Now, I'll read that series over and over every couple of years. I still do. They're great.
Let's see if we can get another caller on the line. And let's go to, this is Ty. Ty with us from Mount Vernon in Washington.
Hey, how you doing there?
Doing great. Well.
Yeah, I'm a chemical pesticide operator. I drive a big spray rig on a farm. So
nice.
It's a dirty job.
Sure it is. You ever get any of that? Have you ever miscalculated the wind and kept your window down? Ill-advisedly, perhaps, and gotten a mouthful?
Oh, yeah. Sometimes just where you park, you just kind of, sometimes it happens, even when you're loading the tank and loading stuff in. And but if it blows around and you get a mouthful, eyeful, some stuff.
Yeah, I took a mouthful of pyrethrin, I think it was called, or maybe abumectin. We did a house up in Louisiana. It was infested with roaches. And, you really have to take the wind into account.
Windage, very important, yeah.
All the time, including while I'm spraying, because I got to worry about all the other people that are out here and animals and stuff like that while I'm working. So,
hey, it's every man for themself, These are difficult times.
And what?
Anyway, I love the show. You got a great show, and just thought I'd call in. Yeah, it's an interesting job. Got a lot of mud and dirt you walk around in, and chemicals that you're applying, and so it's a dirty job.
Sounds good. Love it,
Ty. Thanks for the call. Good luck.
You bet, guys. Have a good day.
And here's a related email from Jack in California. Just an observation. Aren't you concerned about the toxicities of some of the crap you're breathing, absorbing, and crawling in? Hope you have a good health insurance program.
Nice of him to express concern. Yeah, it took a season before I think Lloyd's of London eventually came through with some sort of policy. Now it's somebody else. But
it's regrettably for your legs. You and Betty Grable.
Yes. No, I'm suffering from prolonged malaise and ennui at this point. But other than that, I think I've got a decent immune system, and so far, so good.
Here's another email. This is from Alexis in Walnut Creek, California. Love the show, but did you have to schedule it at lunchtime?
It's basically on all of the time every day. So, if you eat at all, my apologies in advance.
Let's get Mike on the line. Mike's with us from Oshkosh in Wisconsin.
Hi there, Mike. This is Mike.
Hello, Mike.
You've probably done this job already, but I'm what I affectionately call the chemist at the poop factory here in Oshkosh, Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
And
I
must pay tribute to all my co-workers here that are down in the pits, really doing the dirtiest part. But there are more ways to analyze human waste than the average person could possibly imagine, and I do most of them.
I have to say, Mike, let me interrupt here, and I've seen Mike discourse at great length on the difference between working at a wastewater treatment facility and working at a storm runoff facility. And Mike, you said, in fact, the storm sewer was worse.
In some ways. I mean, if you're on the front line, a lift pump chamber in a wastewater treatment plant's about as bad as it gets. But, wastewater treatment plants treat the wastewater. The stuff that goes into a storm drain, in many cases, certainly in L.A., it flows straight to the ocean, right on the beach. There's nothing treated. There's no filter. There's no front line of defense. So really, it's kind of more appalling to think about the stuff that gets on the beach and the way it gets there.
But I'll take you down into our headworks, and you won't like that a bit. That's far, far, far worse.
You're preaching to the choir, brother. I don't want to go into headworks. I've been in there twice. Never in Oshkosh. Is there something about the poo in Wisconsin that is particularly toxic in your estimation?
Well, no more so than any other place.
That's good to know.
I have another job for you. You may want to try this.
Go ahead.
In Paris, they actually give guided tours of the sewers. Hmm. And you could go over and be a tour guide.
That sounds great. The thing is, the Parisian sewer worker doesn't really do anything to directly improve the life of the average guy in Oshkosh or Dubuque.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, I'm going to work my way through the sewers in this country before I give the French any, extra glamour.
But there's
and besides, as a former actor, you'd want the Jean Valjean part.
I would Valjean, absolutely. Although Javert got some pretty
good lines.
And
it's much easier to walk through a sewer, don't you think, as Javert?
It really is, as long as you keep your head held high.
And determined glint in your eye. And your nose closed. Mike, thanks very much for the call.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Here's this from Charles in Laramie, Wyoming. I've always won the worst job bragging rights for two of my jobs. I spent 2 years cleaning fish in Alaska. When folks can top that, I come out with cleaning operating rooms between surgical cases.
That, you know, two great jobs. I've done laundry in hospitals, and I'll never do it again. It's unspeakable. But I just got back from Alaska 3 weeks ago and worked on a cod boat processing a few hundred miles off the coast of Russia. Good God, man. It's tough work. Real guys doing just some of the most difficult stuff. In fact, 24 hours ago, a boat sunk up there right where we were. Amazingly dangerous work. Four guys died. 80 were rescued. And it's just every single year, what would make headline news down here happens up on the Bering Sea to really very little acclaim. It's incredible what goes on that we don't see.
In fact, I also read that you were offered the job of hosting that show, the show that Discovery does on the fishermen in the Bering Sea.
Yeah, and in fact, I did. The first season, I was on the boats working, hosting, flying around in a helicopter, being, you know, sort of that guy. And toward the end of the shoot, we made the deal for Dirty Jobs. And essentially, you know, although the shows touch on a lot of similar themes, the tone is very different. And I just, you know, I couldn't be telling stories of fishermen in peril, you know, at 9 and then making a poo joke with my arm inside a cow at 10. So I went with the poo joke.
Let's get another call on for Mike Rowe, the host of Dirty Jobs on the Discovery Channel. This is Dave. Dave calling us from Sacramento.
Hi, Mike. I love your show. My kids and my wife, we all watch it together.
Thank you, Dave.
I've got a dirty job for you. I clean rain gutters, and you would not believe some of the stuff that you can find in a rain gutter.
What's the worst thing you've ever found?
What's that?
What's the worst thing you ever found in a rain gutter?
Dirty diapers, sex toys, drugs, DVDs of porn. I mean, all kinds of stuff. Dead animals, a lot of cat poop.
Wow.
I mean, it goes on and on.
Hey, you had me at dirty diapers, Dave.
Yeah, I mean, you'd be surprised at how many people must just toss their dirty diapers up onto the roof.
Just prior to throwing out the sex toys, I suppose.
I guess.
And the DVDs.
Yeah.
And do you suppose that's a hook shot or a set shot?
Well, it probably depends on where they're standing.
Could be.
Well, Neil, you've got to take into account the slope of the roof.
And again, windage.
Always.
Yep, absolutely.
That's right.
Always.
Dave, how much does cleaning rain gutters pay?
Not nearly enough.
Thanks very much for that. And Mike, that could be said about many of the jobs that you profile on your show.
You know what? We have some people who do quite well, some of the entrepreneurial jobs like golf ball recycling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these guys who recover golf balls.
Oh, pull them out of ponds and stuff?
Yeah, which doesn't sound so bad in and of itself, but the ponds are full of copperheads and alligators, and they're usually diving after dark when the alligators are feeding. So, you know, in the end, yeah, you can make some money, but, you know, risk is the ultimate determining factor.
Risk. And you take, well, not a few risks yourself in the course of doing this job.
I never do anything that the person next to me isn't doing.
But they know how to do it, Mike.
Well, there it is. Now, I'm not sure exactly with Dave, for instance, how extensive the training was, you know, vis-a-vis removing a loaded diaper from a rain gutter. But I feel that my ability is such that after watching someone do it two or three times, I might be able to give it a shot.
Well, if you can give it a shot to give us a phone call, the number is 800-989-8255. The email address is talk@npr.org. You can also check out the dirty jobs our listeners are suggesting for Mike Rowe at our website. That's at npr.org/blogofthenation. Mike Rowe is our guest. He's the host of Dirty Jobs on the Discovery Channel, and you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's go to Clint. Clint with us from Kansas City.
Hello.
Hi, Clint.
Hi, Neil.
Hey, Clint.
Yeah, I had a job I did back, it was when I was a kid, but I know it's still done, is cleaning out the pits in a grain elevator.
Oh, that is a good one. That's a good one.
Have you ever done that?
I did it. And you know what? I did it not too far from you. I was in, where the heck was I? Either Kansas or Oklahoma. You know, forgive me, they all start to blend together. But you're right, because it starts to ferment. And if you're not careful, you can get drunk in there.
It is the my mother, whenever I worked there in high school, she would make me walk home from it wasn't that far, but I walked home from work because the smell, you get it on you, and it just the only thing that takes it off is time.
Biggest rat I've ever seen, I saw in a silo.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it looked like a pony.
Yeah. Yeah, you could saddle them up and do that. One time I was telling the screener, we went down into the pits to clean these elevator pits out, all the sour grain. And during the summer, they would get really bad.
Mm-hmm.
And we looked down in the hole before we climbed down the ladder, and the floor was black and shiny. It's supposed to be concrete, gray and dull.
Right.
And it was moving. And it was about an inch and a half of maggots.
Guys, you know, have the words black and shiny ever turned out to describe anything good ever?
Ebon miners. They've got to be ebony miners somewhere.
Yeah, but it was absolutely the nastiest job I've. And, you know, back then, I think minimum wage was 55 cents an hour or something like that.
Sure.
Dollar an hour. Yeah. So.
Yeah, Nick. A nickel a maggot, basically.
Yeah, it was a long time ago. But, yeah, you hit it. The rats are like small dogs. Yeah.
Well, it's impressive.
Well, Mike is at this moment on West 42nd Street in New York City. We could have, within half a block, I suspect. But anyway.
Easily.
Clint, thanks very much for the call.
Thanks, Clint.
You bet.
Here's an email from Timothy. Film radio and radio, film television and radio production assistant. Of course, I can only speak personally about the last of those. And this from Ann in Grand Rapids, Michigan. As a therapist, I've realized there's nothing messier than the minds of people with confidentiality may prohibit a day in the life. While confidentiality may prohibit a day in the life, I wanted to share. That from Ann in Grand Rapids.
I told you, Michigan was big.
Michigan is big, but have you gone into a shrink's office?
No, there's legal issues, and so far, you know, season five.
Let's go to Ralph, and Ralph in Cleveland, Ohio.
Yes, sir. How you doing?
Very well, great. Thanks.
We reline chemical storage tanks. We use a media called Black Beauty. You get inside the tank with an air-fed helmet and sandblast the old lining off. And then you have to put fiberglass lining back on the steel after you're finished.
It's great. It's one of the worst things we ever did. We did it in western Louisiana about a year ago. We called them frack tanks.
Frack tanks.
Yeah, fracture tanks. They go in the ground, normally near where they're drilling for oil. And
okay.
You're right, my friend. It was like walking into a very specific circle of hell. And those outfits you're talking about where they pump the air in.
Yeah.
I mean, are you sandblasting when you're in there?
Sandblast with Black Beauty, and then you're on scaffold. When you get done blasting, you got to dump all the boards.
Oh, yeah.
You get all the sand down and blow the tank down with air.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's
unspeakable.
Start putting fiberglass on over your head.
Which is worse, the stuff you're taking off or the stuff you're putting on?
I think taking it off is tougher. Putting it back on, you know, it's itchy, and there's the solvent fumes and the...
Now you're getting somewhere because, I mean, there are a couple different categories. Of the 200 or so that we've done, you know, there's the back-breaking manual labor that hurts the next day. There's the indescribable stench of some jobs that just takes you right out of your game immediately. But then there's the smell of toxic resin and fiberglass and the kind of thing that you just can't shower off, but it gets in your... It gets in your soul, man, and, you know, it really makes you feel not quite right for a while.
Thanks, Ralph.
Hey, thanks a lot. Nice talking to you, Mike.
And you too, Ralph.
We'll end with this email from David in Madison, Wisconsin. Trout farming. I worked on a trout farm for a summer. Nothing a trout hates more in the morning than being grabbed out of a 40-degree water into 40-degree air. I know I hated doing it. Even better, the processing house is without par. Best part? Fish gut vacuum. Dirtiest part of the job, emptying the fish gut vacuum reservoir. Rushing Waters Trout Farm in Palmyra, Wisconsin. Call them.
I'm in.
Mike Rowe, we'll see you there next year.
You bet.
Thanks very much for being with us today.
Thanks, Neil. My pleasure.
Mike Rowe is the host of Dirty Jobs on the Discovery Channel. Coming up, Cinderella's Giant Killers, Bracket Busters. Yep, it's the NCAA Men's Basketball Tournament, now down to the Sweet 16. Stay with us. I'm Neil Conan. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News.